Listen to KXRY Portland 107.1, 91.1 FM, streaming around the world at xray.fm. I'm Jefferson Smith here with Courtney Hommeister. Stay tuned. It is going to be time for Oh My Dollar. In terms of content, we are not falling back, which is apparently the theme. We are moving forward. Joining us now, Lillian Kerbake, the host of our newest show of shows segment, Oh My Dollar, recorded and produced by our very own Will Romey. Welcome Lillian into the studio right after this. You listen to X-Ray. I'm Jefferson Smith. I'm with Courtney Hommeister.
Morning.
It's nice to be with you.
It's nice to be with you.
Because you are the Meister of Ha.
I
just
am.
Came up with that.
It's like he's drunk.
Yeah,
drunk.
It's like 8:02 a.m.
We are here with Lillian Kerbake, the baker of care.
Oh, God.
We used to say Care Bear and Bake a Cake.
You got a new show.
Yeah.
Talk to us about it.
So I'm super excited about this. It's Oh My Dollar, and essentially I realized there was a gap. No one was really doing kind of urbanite, young people-focused personal finance call-in advice. So I teach workshops on personal finance, and one of my favorite things is to help people get over that fear of looking at their bank account and that kind of general terror that comes with money for a lot of folks. So my goal is to kind of de-wonkify a lot of the kind of scary stuff like 401ks and IRAs.
What's your favorite, and do a bunch of humanities made you listen to this show? We've got it. Hang with us just for a minute, okay? It's going to get good. Who's your favorite personal finance, like television or internet guru?
I actually really love Dave Ramsey.
I was going to ask Dave Ramsey.
Yeah, I disagree with him on many points.
Like what?
Well, he's very proselytizing. And so if you know, I grew up in the Midwest, so I'm pretty used to aggressive Christian proselytizing as a matter of daily life. But it can be hard for a lot of folks to have that mixed in when all they want to know is, like, how do I budget for my first car?
You come from a different perspective.
Yes, exactly.
You described yourself in an amusing way that I hope you will remember what I'm thinking about and say it on the air.
Actually, a student once described me as this, and I think it's probably my favorite way, which is that if Dave Ramsey had grown up in the city in the 90s and also wore sparkly unitards, that would be Lillian.
So that was one, but you also did another one. You just called, I don't know, I used a radical feminist something or other.
Oh, yeah.
Something or, what was
yeah.
that one?
I don't know.
Remember
I
that
know.
One thing you said that one time?
Yeah, nope.
Would you say that again?
Nope. I could probably dig it up on
Radio.
An evaluation.
Yeah. Radio. By the way, if you Google personal finance guru, you get Suze Orman?
Susie or
it's
Orman.
It's Susie?
Oh, it is. Oh, yes, it's Susie. I thought it was Suze.
I just see, it's just S-U-Z-E. I don't know. I'm apparently not sufficiently
There's a
fan.
Reason I don't use my name for the show, because you can't even figure her out, and she's got like half as many letters in her name as me.
I can read it, and I know that you're Kerbake, not Karabiak. Okay, it's Kerbake. So what I think we're gonna play something.
Oh yeah, really quick though, I wanted
Please.
To mention that tonight is Ignite Portland, which is a bunch of free, fast-paced talks on everything from like roller skating to why you should let your teenage daughter buy a motorcycle. And I will be dressed as Bowie, giving the perspective of what David Bowie would teach you if he was a CPA.
That
wow,
wonderful.
It's at OMSI.
That sounds fantastic.
OMSI starts at 7:30 tonight. Doors open at 6:30. It's totally free.
Courtney, do you have any personal finance questions that you need somebody to be helping you wrestle with?
Well, I think that people talk about the importance of saving money, but I think that people struggle with the fact that there are tons of people who are living paycheck to paycheck. So, is there any way to save money if you're living paycheck to paycheck?
Well, living to paycheck is really just a cash flow issue, right? So sometimes the way to do that is to make your main goal to be building up a buffer while you're living paycheck to paycheck, and you have 1 month that sucks. And you have 1 month where you're Ubering or you're picking up side jobs or your tax return came in, and that is your buffer. That's the point. You leave that in your checking account and you don't spend it. And that's your you can start living off last month's income, which is one of the things I'm a huge fan of, because it's sort of a mental trick that you can give yourself, which is that your paycheck that comes in this month actually goes towards next month's expenses and you don't touch it for a whole month. And that's one of the ways that you can start getting out of that cycle.
Yeah.
Back when I was in AmeriCorps, I made $836 a month. And I still managed to save $2,000 during that 11-month term. And it's really a matter of priorities and recognizing what you can't afford. And also recognizing that, like, saving can be a priority. You can really get that intensity and decide that saving is important because you're sick of how sick that money makes you feel. And so I think that's one of the really important things, is just wrapping your head around, like, is saving actually a priority for you? Do you want to stop this, like, frustrating cycle of paycheck to paycheck? Okay, let's look at ways to do that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, why don't we play the piece?
Thanks.
X-ray.
Welcome to Oh My Dollar, a personal finance show for the 21st century. Dealing with money can be scary and stressful. Here we give practical, friendly advice about money that helps you tackle the financial overwhelm. I'm your host, Lillian Kerbink. Let's talk about money. Our first caller this morning is Lucy from Portland. Lucy, welcome to Oh My Dollar.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So, yeah, I heard you have a question, and you're a comic book artist, right?
That is correct. Yeah, I'm a full-time freelancer. I have been for the last 4 or 5 years now. And I published my first book this year and have been dealing with a new slew of exciting job discoveries around that and money flow. But the perennial problem is always, even though I get a lot of my income every month from Patreon now, is having a really fluctuating income source. And it's something that I've started to examine more closely as there's a boom and bust cycle of getting a bunch of money from, say, doing a Kickstarter and then blazing through all of it to fill expenses and not having any left over at the end. And I was really curious to hear if you had any good tips or tools that you would recommend for budgeting for variable income.
Yeah, well, the first and most important thing to really think about is, do you know how much it takes you to continue to be alive as a human each month? Like, do you know what sort of your bare bones expenses are and what you need to be able to keep yourself functioning each month? And, you know, once you get that number, so, you know, for me, I kind of have my bare bones, which is like, if I'm paying my rent and my lights are on and I'm feeding myself, you know, I know that it costs me about $950 a month. And if I like my slightly more fluffy number, which is kind of what I base my average monthly expenses on, it's $1,150, you know, which is that, like, I like my fitness membership and I want to be able to go out for a beer occasionally. And that's sort of, I know that baseline number. And you would be surprised how many people don't know that number for themselves. And part of it is that people think that there's this magical thing that happens, which is the amount of income they bring in is the amount of money it costs them to live each month. And that's sort of, and you know, one of the blessings of being someone on a variable cycle is that you have to break out of that. Like, people that get a regular paycheck for most of their lives and aren't in charge of managing their own business, a lot of them never escape that paycheck to paycheck cycle because they don't have to. They don't get forced into that situation where they have to realize, oh crap, like, how much does it actually cost me to exist as a human, even when money isn't coming in? And so, I mean, that's the really cool thing about being a freelancer, is that it forces you to actually take a look at your spending. Maybe that's, you know, sort of a rose-colored glasses way to look at it. But that's the most important thing you got to wrap your head around. So once you know that number, and if you don't know that number, the best way to do that is to keep really, really good track of everything you spend. And one of the ways that I recommend that you do that, especially if you're not someone, if you own your own business, maybe you're great on the business side and terrible on the personal side of tracking, or vice versa. I see this all the time with small business owners, is that you sort of get like, well, I've got it handled on the business side. I'm always prepared for taxes. So it's okay if I don't really know where my money is going in my personal life. Or when you're a freelancer, it feels like everything that you spend on making comics or anything you spend on making the business is justifiable. So you're not really tracking it because it feels good. And it also is important, right? Like, it's important to make sure you get things to people that support you on Patreon. And so you kind of put blinders on when it comes to the rest of your expenses. You're like, okay, well, this is the bare minimum, is that I need to fulfill orders. And then so you kind of like, you know, the coffee that adds up every day, you sort of don't look at it because it's too stressful to track both at once.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's hard. It's hard to do that. Like, you can easily get stressed out with that.
That's going to be great. I mean, that's been a real shift for me, because then I'm not dealing with quite as much of the variable paycheck panic, but I'm still on the cusp of having it cover that amount every month, and so I'm trying to figure out if there are things I can be doing to better prepare myself for dips or lean months in the future that's not just like set aside a bunch of money.
Yeah, I mean, setting aside a bunch of money, 3 to 6 months, is always great, right? Like, there's a reason it's a tenant. But I don't like to think about that as what's keeping you running, right? That's truly for emergencies, right? The way I like to do it is, don't think about it like, oh, I've got to save up this huge pile of money. Like, $6,000 can seem completely unattainable when you're, like, living pretty frugally, right? But what you can say is, okay, I just want to get a month. I want to get a month ahead, and I want all the money in my checking account to be actually set aside for next month. So this isn't about putting money in a savings. This is about having a buffer that equals 1 month's expense. And the way to get that buffer is to fit, you know how much your monthly expenses are. Figure out what the dividable amount there is that you can save each month, and then just keep leaving that in your checking account. And just like slowly each month, like even if it's $50. So say, you know, it costs you $1,000 a month to live. And you're like, you know, I really can't spare more than $50. Okay, it's going to take you over a year to get to that point. But that point at which you're living on last month's income. So if, oh my God, I'm sick and I can't make any comics, and so it's like not possible for me to put out enough where I'm going to be getting Patreon income, then you've got a whole extra month of freak out time, which is so valuable. Totally. And that also can, you know, just that buffer, that living off last month's income, I think is one of the most valuable things I ever did for myself when I was living off unpredictable income. And it can take a while, but especially if you're a freelancer, and sometimes those windfalls come, sometimes those paydays come where you're like, oh, I don't, not all of this is going to go to the cost of actually shipping things out, and I got one good gig or something, then you can use that to build that buffer immediately. Does that make sense?
It totally does. Yeah, it's a very helpful concept.
Well, thanks for calling, Lucy.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for answering my question.
Thanks.
Our next caller is Emily from Eugene. Emily, welcome to Oh My Dollar.
Hi, thanks, Emily.
Yeah. So my question was about budgeting. Specifically, I'm a small business owner, and I have student loans. I have a little bit of debt from starting my business, which unfortunately is credit card debt. And I also owe a little bit in taxes. And I'm wondering what order of attack I should plan for these things to make sure I get them all paid off in the smartest way.
Yeah. So do you know the interest rates on all of those? Obviously, the taxes are going to be the lowest interest rate usually. Do you know what the interest rates you're paying on the student loans are versus the credit cards?
Yeah. So I know the interest rate on the student loans. I actually have only one loan left, and it's my lowest interest loan. So it's about 5%. And then my credit card debt is still in the zero APR period, and I could kind of negotiate keeping it there for a while, but eventually it will be like, I think it's like 13% or something obscene.
Right. There's kind of two approaches to paying off debt. And, you know, when you're a small business, it's really important to realize that, unfortunately, business debt is the same as personal debt. And a lot of people, especially if it was on credit cards, whether or not they're business credit cards, if you're a sole proprietor or, you know, a two-person LLC, it's all the same. Student loans can't be discharged in bankruptcy, but credit card could. And hopefully you never have to get to that point where you find that out. But one of the things to kind of wrap your head around is, like, your student loans and your business debt are really one and the same when you're a sole proprietorship. It's really just sort of your association with them in yourself that's different. and so there's two kind of main ways to attack debt that are recommended. The most financially, like, kind of mathematically sound principle is to always start with the highest interest rate one. So the highest interest rate, obviously they're compounding interest, so the quicker you pay them off, the easier it is to get ahead of the debt, and you'll end up paying less over the long term. But a lot of people prefer this kind of debt snowball method, which is where you pay the lowest balance first, which is the idea that, like, even if that is actually the 1% debt that you're paying off, and it's you know, at $1,000, if you can knock off that $1,000 debt, you're going to feel really good about yourself. And it's going to give you that momentum going into a different one. And if your highest interest rate debt ends up being your largest debt, it could feel like you're never going to, you know, climb off that mountain and you're not going to get the victory that you want. If you've got taxes, I usually always advise, despite the interest rate, pay off those taxes. And the thing about the taxes is you don't have to pay them all the way down to be considered in good standing. So it's not going to hurt your credit. The IRS is probably one of the easiest creditors to have. They will always work with you on payment plans. If you are trying in good faith to pay your taxes, they are not going to hurt you. The thing they don't like is when you don't talk to them. As long as you talk to them and you say, like, hey, you know, I didn't know what my income was going to be. It was my first year in business. I really do want to pay these off. I'd like to work out a payment plan that makes sense with the revenue for my business. They will work with you. So I would say always start with the highest interest rate, but taxes kind of usurp that. Do you know when the 0% ends right now on your credit card?
I believe it ends in March of next year.
Okay.
It may be somewhere like slightly before that. But yeah, it would be before the taxes are due.
Do you feel like it would be possible for you to pay it off, or do you think that with the amount that you're currently making, you're going to have to slide it past that March deadline?
I think essentially, yeah, I mean, I guess the issue is I could probably pay off at least one of these things. It sounds like what you're saying is, like, you know, pay taxes first because they're taxes, and then the highest interest thing would be the credit card, pay that next. I could pay one, but not both off.
If you've got this 0% deadline, deadlines are incredibly motivating. So I would say if you know that you could pay off your credit cards in advance of that 0% deadline, you're going to be in a better position with the IRS when you do negotiate with them about a payment plan, because you're going to not have any monthly payments due in that credit card, and you're not going to be digging a compound interest hole at 13%. So my advice for you would actually be to try to attack that credit card ahead of getting those taxes in, and then be really clear. Talk to the IRS. They are so easy to work with. They really do want to help, especially small business owners. So, you know, I would say go after that soon-to-be 13% credit card debt. Attack it as much as you can. Like, really put your energy there for anything that you have over and above your minimums on your student loans. And then next step is the taxes. And then after that is your student loans.
Okay, that makes sense then. So credit card, then taxes, then student loan.
Yeah, especially if you can meet that March deadline, and 0% interest is a good thing.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much. I guess that answers it.
Thanks so much. Have a good one, Emily.
If you've got any questions, please call in and leave your financial worries at 971-319-5979 or shoot us an email at questions@ohmydollar.com. Oh My Dollar is produced at X-Ray FM. Thanks to our producer, Will Rami. Our intro music is by Aaron Parecki, and I'm your host, Lillian Kerbake. Dollar, dollar bill, yo!
Lillian, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
How many episodes have you done?
We have pre-recorded 3, so we'll have at least 3.
Well, congratulations for getting it started. So part of what we want to do, obviously at X-Ray, the mission is to put a microphone to the best and most distinctive of Portland and create kind of a bed of creators, a platform for people to make stuff and to develop more and more on-demand content. And thanks so much for being part of that. And we should discuss how we want to help that mission succeed going forward. And thank you for doing what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you.
So where can people, they can check it out in the X-Ray Archive. You're going to be creating, you can hit you on Twitter at Oh My Dollar. I think it in fact is Oh My Dollar. What else?
They can also go to ohmydollar.com and submit it through an online form, or they can always leave it on the X-Ray message line, 971-319-5979, and we'll get back to them.
Say the number again.
971-319-5979.
Lillian Kerbake, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
You listen to X-Ray in just a moment. Talk Media News.